Welcome to Don't Drop the Ball. We are back, a new iteration. I'm Pablo Rosero. I'm joined by a good friend of mine, former Madden pro, Steven Javorowski. As some of you might know him better as Stevie J. Steven, how are you doing, man?
Doing good, bro. Doing good. It's beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon recording this. Just down to talk football and whatever, whatever that comes with.
Yeah, so Steven is out of Orlando. I'm out of Chicago. I guess we'll give a little bit of background on us. I grew up in Miami. I went to school at Loyola University of Chicago. Sister Jean, you know, probably know her better than the school itself.
Facts.
I graduated December 2021 in journalism, and I'm a writer for Fin Fanatic and Bear Goggles on Fansided. If you ever want to check out that content too, I share a lot of it on my Twitter at @PabloRosero_4. And then Stevie J, no longer a Madden player. What are you up to now?
Yeah, no longer a Madden player. Reasoning for that, I mean, I had my fun. I was mainly playing during college. It was a good transition from like high school to college. I played sports when I was younger. But I kind of stopped around like 14, 15, and that's when I started really playing Madden and video games. So I always still had like a competitive side to me, and I always loved like football, the actual game. And I love video games, so I combined the two and found out how to compete in tournaments, make money. It was a really fun time. But now I graduated with my master's in counselor education in August of 2020. So I did the school counseling track, so I'm a school counselor. Been doing that. This is my second year, so don't really have as much time to game or anything. I could fit in if I wanted to, but the game of Madden hasn't exactly been getting better over the years. And as my time becomes a little bit more precious to me, I'm not trying to spend that time doing things that I don't find are fun or even worth it in like a money-making aspect. But me and Pablo are actually in a couple of fantasy leagues together as well, so definitely just love football. I grew up in Clearwater, Florida, just near Tampa, and then I've been going to UCF since 2014. I live in Orlando, bought a crib here last year, so happy about that. But I don't have my sports teams are not Florida ones, except for hockey, which the Lightning, because they're in town, and you know they're amazing, so shout out to them.
Go Panthers.
The Panthers are good this year. They're good this year though.
And they just made two big deals this week. They should get better, hopefully.
Yep. But yeah, so most of my family's from New York, so unfortunately I have the pleasure of supporting some great organizations like the New York Knicks, the New York Giants, the Yankees. You know, they had their time while I was growing up, but now they just never quite get there. But yeah, it's all pain for me as a Giants fan lately. Our last winning season was 2016, and we just played defense and prayed to God that Odell would do something ridiculous. And that's how we won games.
Hey, he did something ridiculous this year.
He did, and it really hurts my heart to see him like get hurt. And like, I'm glad he won, but he was really looking like he was on the Giants, like on the Rams this year. That's going to kind of flow into one of our main topics today was receiver groups in the draft in the NFL today. I believe the first one would be wide receiver one. Who do you think it is? There's always a lot of discussion about that.
So in the draft, and sidebar first, just to give an example of how good of a Madden player Steven was, I haven't played him. I wanted to. He hasn't given me the opportunity, but mutual friend of ours, he played. He beat him by about 80 points.
Yeah, it was 93-6. Yeah.
So... just to give some context, but shifting gears into the draft, wide receiver one, I think, you know,
in the draft and in the game right now, I guess, since we can do both, since they're both relevant.
So let's start with the draft since we're heading towards the draft. We'll talk about free agency. We'll talk about those moves. I think with that, money makes the most sense here. So it would be Adams. Yep. But in the draft, you have about 5 or 6 guys that you could legitimately say are wide receiver one material, with Garrett Wilson, Ohio State, Jameson Williams, Alabama, Drake London, USC, Treylon Burks, Arkansas, who had a tough combine, but he's still, in my opinion, he's my wide receiver one. Burks from Arkansas. Yeah. And then Chris Olave, who also had a very good combine. I have Burks at one simply because you watch him. Mm-hmm. You watched what he did at Arkansas this year. For the most part, he was their offense. When he had the ball in his hands, he was dynamic. He was explosive. And, I mean, it was really interesting watching him. You know, he's in the SEC. These SEC kids are always going to get all that hype. Very much so. It's deserved. They're great players, great schools, except Vanderbilt. But, you know, Burks was the most explosive player on the field when they were playing Bama, when they were playing LSU, Florida, and he's done it since mm-hmm. he's gotten to Arkansas. That's not a knock on any of these other players. Jameson Williams was great. Alabama would have won that national championship if Williams doesn't get hurt.
That's not even mentioning
John Metchie.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly crazy the talent we have in college football year after year after year with the receiving groups. It's unbelievable. Like, it seems like, oh, we're anticipating, oh, this is a great receiver draft. Maybe next year's isn't going to be quite as good. It's like, no, next year's draft's is going to be quite as good as well. Personally, I think that if a lot of the narrative around wide receiver one in the draft would be different if Jameson Williams didn't tear his ACL, I think he would go top 10 if he didn't. Just because
you could make that same argument with Drake London. He played 8 games and still won Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year.
I just think it's more recent, and people are like, at least decision makers, because you gotta say their jobs are on the line. So like, if they're gonna nitpick these athletes like all through this process, a lot of it unnecessarily, but. I just know this—the way speed. Like, I mean, you're a Dolphins fan. They drafted Waddle last year at 6, and you know he wasn't even the best. I mean, Devontae Smith had a better year because you know Waddle got hurt, but it was very much like people thought that. I mean, in college, not last year in the pros.
Waddle
had like 100 catches.
Smith, that Heisman Trophy season, as good as Justin Jefferson was the year before and Ja'Marr Chase was the year before or 2 years before, whatever it had been, that Devontae Smith season was absurd, no matter what the metrics were. And he fell in the draft for whatever reason. And realistically so, on that Eagles team, he should have done better.
Yeah.
They're going to be interesting. They're in a really good situation. But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, I mean, I like where I was going with that is just I just know how the NFL values speed. Remember 2 years ago in the draft, I mean, he's not in the league anymore because he made some very bad choices. But Henry Ruggs was the first receiver taken over 2 receivers that were clearly better than him.
I did that in fantasy too.
It was like, he's fast as hell, super great athlete. But, you know, he was like the 4th best receiver on his team at the time, but he was draft eligible. In Alabama, because like Judy was clearly better. Everybody knew Waddle was that guy, becoming that guy. And Devontae Smith obviously showed us who he is with his Heisman winning season. But I just think Williams got that burning, blazing speed that if he didn't get the recent injury, he would have been more looked at as wide receiver one. But I mean, for me personally, I haven't really watched a whole lot of Burks or London, to be honest, because, you know, just the teams they play for. I'm more of a college football casual, to be honest. I watch like the nationally televised games and such. So I see a lot of Bama, and a lot of Ohio State and all them. I think Garrett Wilson's really good. You know, hot take right there. Garrett Wilson's really good, but, I think I saw something about what's his name? Drake London's frame and his athletic profile. The only player that's similar to like what he scored or whatever that has been successful in the NFL, and by successful I mean like a star, is like AJ Green. So most of the other guys that have his sort of profile haven't really worked out, but you
There's been
do
a
have to
lot
do.
of comparisons to Mike Evans with Drake London, and I don't really see it, but that's the comparison that's really been thrown out there. Going back to Wilson and even Olave, I think clearly you could see Olave did end up making the right call going back to school. I
You
think
think so?
he's closer to being a first round pick this year than he was last year, especially
That's
with the
fair.
needs at wide receiver that some of these teams had. The reality of what was going to be available in the wide receiver market, players that were expected to hit the market versus what actually did hit the market, made it seem like more wide receivers could end up in the first round than they did. But like you said, like next year's group, Wilson and Olave, in my opinion, weren't the most talented receiver. Neither one was the most talented receiver at Ohio State last year.
No,
That
Smith
was
and
in.
Jigba was, he was incredible.
And he's going to be a top 10 pick next year. Him and Stroud should both likely will end up in the top 10. But we're talking size, speed, athletic profile. We can't go any further than Christian Watson in that argument, who, had he not played at North Dakota State, if he played at any Power 5 school, we'd be talking about him as the first wide receiver off the board. 6'4", 4.36 speed. 99 athletic profile grading. He's taken himself from being looked at a certain way because he played at a run heavy North Dakota State, only had 800 receiving yards, about 40 catches. He accounted for over 90% of their, or over 80% or something of their total passing offense.
Yeah, there's so many like, and that's kind of one of the, I guess we could flow into that, is just like that part of the conversation is just every year it seems like there's an amazing wide receiver class, and you know you see these free agent deals or extensions that these receivers in the NFL are signing, and it's, you know, I think we're gonna go undergo a little bit of a shift. Like you see the Dallas Cowboys trading Amari Cooper for nothing, basically to get him off their cap for making to making 20. He's making 20 million a year for 5 years. I think he's in year three of his deal. And you know, Amari Cooper, he's a good receiver, but like
27 years old.
realistically, yeah, he's right in the middle of his prime. Like realistically, where would you place him in the rankings? Like I would say like between, I don't know, 10 and 20, 10 and 15 of the wide receiver, like bottom end of the top 10 at the very most, in my opinion.
His per average, I pulled this out. He's fourth, or he's, yeah, he's fourth in average per year at that 20 million
Making,
mark. So,
yeah.
or he's fifth actually, my bad, by 25,000, the difference between him, Keenan Allen at four, DJ Moore, the contract he just signed, has him at three. Then it's a gap, around $7 million gap between DJ Moore, DeAndre Hopkins in two, and then Davante Adams at one. With that brand new deal that just shifts an already dynamic landscape in that AFC West. Now you got questions in the NFC North. Are the Packers still the best team in that division? Who's Aaron Rodgers going to throw to?
The
It's.
Packers, they need to draft two receivers in the first two rounds this year. On if I were them, they're both their first round picks. I'm taking two receivers. I might take your boy Burks and then Olave. Just
I agree with
do
you
something.
100%.
You have to.
I was looking at a mock draft I was doing a simulator before we got on. And Packers 22. 21 is the Patriots right before them, who also desperately need a wide receiver one.
Absolutely.
And they took in that mock draft Jameson Williams right before. Jameson Williams in the Packers would be great. On the
He would.
Patriots, I don't know if it's going to be another Nelson Agholor, three catches, four targets a game kind of situation. You would hope not, but this is going to be the first time we see a kind of new Patriots offense with McDaniels gone. But going back to the Packers, it had Burks, Dotson from Penn State, George Pickens, Christian Watson, John Menchie available at 22. And I mean, like, you're going Burks at 22 if he's there with that group. And then at 28, when they're back up with their own pick, if Christian Watson's there, you pair Burks and Watson, you get speed, physicality. You got Lazard, who's also a burner. You have Randall Cobb there who, you know, he's older. He's not the same player he was, but he'll give you consistency. Then you even got Amari Rodgers, who I think, you know, can be a good receiver. But we're focusing on the first round, but this is a deep wide receiver class. You got you got Sky Moore, you got David Bell, Wandell Robinson, Jalen Tolbert, former five-star Justin Ross, one of Trevor Lawrence's boys, one of his favorite targets at Clemson. You got very, very little talked about Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, who quietly had one of the best combines. There's a lot of talent here. And you even have Calvin Austin from Memphis, undersized at around 5'8", 5'7", but dynamic player. We've seen what these Memphis players are doing once they get into the
league. That's true. So that's true.
There's options there. But it's about finding them and going after them. Something that the Packers haven't done in the past.
They should be disbanded if they don't draft a receiver in the first round, to be honest. I just can't. I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. He's probably my favorite quarterback, like, ever. I just love his game. I love how he plays. I think he's, like, no, like, prime Aaron Rodgers is, like, was definitively the most talented quarterback until now. We just keep having these ridiculous talents like Mahomes and Josh Allen and Herbert now. Like, what they're doing is basically what Rodgers was doing. And early in his career, he had the receivers. He had Jordy Nelson. He had Greg Jennings. He had, in his prime, Randall Cobb. He had guys like James Jones, Donald Driver, like Jermichael Finley. Like, they had options. And every year lately, it's just been Devontae Adams. And now you lose him, which, you know, I understand. Like, he wanted to reunite with his college quarterback in Derek Carr. He always wanted to be a Raider. They offered him more money. He said, nah. You still get a first and second round pick, which is great. But you have to use them to help Aaron Rodgers. You have to. Like, receivers are so important. And, yeah, they are coming out in the draft every year. There's so, like, such great classes. But you got to pick them. You have to pick them because, you know, kind of going back to the, like, the deals you have to pay these receivers now. Like, the Jaguars just gave Christian Kirk $21 million a year for, like, 4 or 5 years.
18.
Like, 18. It could go up to 21. But, it has some incentives. But, like, why would you pay that much?
I was looking at that deal. They have an out in 2024.
Okay.
But let's be honest. It's not just that Christian Kirk deal. It's that Zay Jones deal, too.
Yeah.
With the amount of talent in this draft class, the money
Why would you pay them?
Why are you paying exactly?
Yeah, I think we're going to start to look at receiver contracts like in that mid-tier or like outside the top 10, top 15, as in like, why would you pay those guys? Like, you know, your Devontae Adams, your Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Hopkins, like, you're going to pay them. Because, like, those guys changed the entire game.
Well, put it in this perspective. Christian Kirk's making as much as Tyreek Hill is. Is Tyreek Hill going to come out and say, I got to get paid? Or is he going to be a team guy and say, let's go win? They just went and signed Juju. They don't have cap space. What are you going to do?
So the thing about the Chiefs is, like, Mahomes really – It's hard. It's weird saying he did them a solid by signing that 10-year deal, but he did because obviously they're paying him what he's worth, one. But two, because it's so long, they can restructure the hell out of that deal every single year, move his base salary to signing bonuses or whatever the lovely tricks that these NFL teams do. Because when you see, they have no cap space, it's like, okay, the Saints have had negative $800 million in cap space every year, yet they always make it work somehow. So I think Tyreek Hill is going to ask for more money, and the Chiefs have some flex, like with that Mahomes contract, they have some flexibility with it. But I mean, if I'm Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, I'm licking my chops looking at these deals like, oh, y'all going to pay me. You're going to pay me because I'm that type of, like, I'm that guy. But, you know, your next tier of guys, I feel like the quote-unquote smart organizations aren't really going to pay them that much. Like, I don't know, like, Mike Williams got $20 million a year. I like Mike Williams. What is he, like, the 25th best receiver in the league? Like, maybe he's a little better than that, but that's $20 million a year.
I think you're giving him too much credit for last year. Granted, he deserves exactly. all the credit. He's got to stay healthy.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, where would you even, like, If we're discussing where we're gonna place this guy in like the rankings of receivers, and we're saying maybe 25th, and that's generous, and this man making 20 a year, what are we like? I feel like there's gonna be an overcorrection or just a correction in general in the market. Like, we kept paying these running backs when they don't last, they get hurt a lot. You can replace their production easily. They're more reliant on the offensive line and other positions than other players are. But it's not going to be the same thing as that, where it's like, oh, now receivers don't matter or whatever. But it's just when your production is so easily replaceable, and with the, like, the rookie wage scale, like, the rookie wage scale is literally why smart teams, like, operate the way they do, is they maximize those guys they're getting on those rookie deals. That's why you draft receivers, tackles, edge, quarterback high, because the guys at the top of those positions, like Devontae Adams, is signed $29 million a year. Quarterbacks make, you know, you're upwards of $40 million if you have a top guy now. Left tackles are like $23, $25 million for the best ones. And with that rookie wage scale, you don't have to pay him a lot if you get a stud in the first round.
Look for at the Chargers.
4 good years.
Mm-hmm. Chargers have a franchise yep. quarterback and a franchise left tackle. Back-to-back years.
Yep.
Go figure.
Absolutely.
Yep. How are they going to make it out of that division is the question.
I mean, I don't know how anyone's going to make it out of the division, to be honest with you.
And you said it, how the smart organizations take advantage of these situations. I saw a tweet mm-hmm. that said, since I think, like, I don't remember the year, it might have been like since 2010 or 2000.
Yeah,
the Ravens have had 32 comp picks.
Yep,
from letting guys yep. go. The Jaguars, mm-hmm. zero.
Mm-hmm. And it's just all those extra picks, like, whenever like Schefter, whoever tweets out the list of teams. The list of compensatory picks and which teams have them, it's always the same organizations. It's always the Patriots, the Ravens, and even the Rams. People don't talk about, like, people, you know, the Les Snead had that shirt on. It was like, fuck them picks or whatever. And while funny, and yeah, they are trading away a lot of their draft picks, they always trade back in the draft and acquire more picks. They always get compensatory picks. They're still getting those cost-controlled young guys every year. You know, you hit at a lower rate than your first and second and third round picks. Obviously, that's why those guys get taken up that high. But when you replace those higher premium picks with just lower picks, you're getting those cost-controlled guys who can contribute, and you don't got to pay them nothing. Like, you can still, they're doing that. Like in Madden, when we used to, like, we had a mode called salary cap, and something that a lot of people use was a strategy called stars and scrubs. So kind of what you would say the Rams are doing. Well, my quarterback's going to be a goon. My number one receiver, I got to have a couple pass rushers. I got to have a great corner. And then, you know, the other guys are they have some athletic traits or whatever, but
they
their
fit
salary
the
cap costs as much. Yeah, they fit the scheme. Their salary cap costs are much less, but you know, you're counting on your goons to carry you. And I get it. You look at those the way teams operate, and like you have, that's one of my frustrations with the Giants since Dave Gettleman was there, was we're acting like it's 1987 again, like with how we're running the team. Oh, we're gonna run the ball and stop the run, and that's what we need to fucking focus on. It's like, no, that's not what you need to do. Look at even the Bills are a great organization now, and they turn that around from being awful for like 15 years. And you got to start valuing the right things and paying attention to that rookie wage scale. And specifically, I think it's going to turn with these receivers. Like, you got to pay attention to it.
Well, talking about value, let me ruin your day real quick. I want to do this because I know you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk your top 10 receivers. I'll give mine too.
Okay.
We'll put it up against the top 10 receivers per season money. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I'll let you go first. Your top 10, you can go from 1 to 10, 10 to 1,
you.
Any order you want. Mm-hmm.
So I have, before I give my list, I want to have like a little bit of like a philosophical question about ranking receivers. How do you feel about receivers that like basically only play in the slot compared to ones that are like your X receiver or your Z receiver or the ones that move around? Like, do you kind of dock slot only guys? How do you rate them? It will influence how I want to rank them then. Cause if I want, you need to know what the criteria is obviously to rank them, if that makes sense.
I think, especially when we're talking top 10 guys, these are the guys that are tier one, low tier one, tier two kind of receivers. And we're talking about the strictly production wise on the field, not fantasy, not, you know,
yeah.
Oh, this, that. Guys that'll come in. Davante Adams, he's my number one. I will put that out right now.
Yeah, he's my number one.
Where
does
he play on the field?
Yeah, so I guess.
If it's an elite guy, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp played every spot on that offense in the receiver. Mm-hmm. He even came in and blocked. That's production. And he's been doing that his whole career.
Yeah.
And so I think that's
question.
What you have to like consider. Like, these are the top 10 receivers in the entire league. So it's got to be a guy that you can not only trust to put in the slot, in the outside, to get you yards inside, in the red zone, wherever. It's people that have to produce.
Yeah.
It's like a guy like Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro played inside and outside. He produced all year.
Yeah.
It's a credit not just to them for their talent, but it's about how the coach uses them too. And you know, when we talked about the Super Bowl, when I said, how is it that it took Sean McVay until 4 minutes left in the game to find Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
It's absurd. You had quite possibly the best player in the entire NFL on the field. Yeah. And he doesn't get a target until the last 4 minutes. So I think that's where you kind of have to, and it's not just with wide receivers, it's just in general. It's the guys that you put in a situation and they just exceed. And obviously you have to take into account the situation too. You could have the best athlete in the world, but if their situation doesn't work, they're not going to produce. Mm-hmm. And if they do, it's not when it matters most.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you my rankings, but I'm also going to separate into like tiers. So tier, because like number one, I'm going to have Davante Adams, but he's in tier one, obviously. The rest of that tier would probably, at this point, it has to be Cooper Kupp. I put Tyreek Hill there as well. I just think the things you have to do to game plan for a Tyreek Hill are on par or more than Adams and Cooper Kupp. I also feel like Justin Jefferson is in that as well. I would say And I think, am I missing anybody? I think that would be my first tier. It would be those four. And then, so yeah, it would be Adams. I guess it has to be Cup, Tyreek, Jefferson. And then my next tier would be Ja'Marr Chase. And then, let me think about all the receivers. What would you consider Deebo Samuel? Is he a rec what the fuck is he?
He's a receiver.
Like
He's
they
most of
okay.
his snaps
They
are at
because they
receiver.
call him a wide back, which I understand, but like he's a receiver. I mean, he's gonna be in tier two. I don't know where in that tier two he's gonna be, but so Chase at like five. I like AJ Brown a lot. I think AJ Brown is an absolute monster, so I would also put him in tier two. Who else? Actually, I need to go look at just the top
There's
receivers
just so
in the
many
league.
good
There's so many.
receivers.
Like, I'm trying to look and see
And
who.
when you see the money aspect, it'll be very difficult.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. I'm actually gonna look in our in our league just to see this the many receivers that are out there. I'm a big I think CeeDee Lamb is it might be in the bottom half of that in tier two. I like CeeDee Lamb a lot. I think he's I mean if Dak didn't get hurt his first year, he would have been put up even more crazy numbers. And now that there's no Amari Cooper, he's really gonna get force fed like quite a bit. So my first tier was Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, and Justin Jefferson. And then next one would be Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown's in there. Who did I just say?
You're
Sorry, this
missing
is a
DeAndre Hopkins in that list somewhere.
Hopkins, yeah, you're right. I'll put him in tier two. The only thing that Hopkins, I feel like he doesn't quite have like the speed that like some others would, but he does literally everything amazing. But I guess you could give that knock to like Devontae Adams too. I feel like they have enough to like clear the threshold, obviously, because they're wide receiver one types. So it's like Chase, Hopkins, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, so that's another four. So I think I have two more in the top 10. Who do you have that I haven't named already?
Stefon Diggs.
Okay, I hear you. Because he was amazing 2 years ago, and then this season his production was a little bit less, but I feel like
But
they just
that
kind
felt
of.
like that was that entire offense. It took them time to get in stride.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They also ran the ball more this year because teams, because what they had to adjust because what the Bills did was like they just passed every down. They just didn't care. Like if you gave them a look where they could pass against,
No, but that
the
happened until they played Tampa. Then they actually started running the football and they had a lot more success.
Well, because teams would play too high every down, and we're like, hey, run the ball. And they're like, at a certain point, it's just like, well, you're giving us the blocker, like the math advantage of our blockers to, your defenders in the box. Like we kind of have to start taking it. So Diggs is a good one. Damn, who else? Let
I
me just
can
go
give
to the
you my
individual
top
position.
10. We didn't
Go
expect to
ahead.
talk about this, but I think it's funny when I looked at the values, the year per year values. I just think it's pretty funny when you compare it. Although, it's tough because there are guys that do deserve to be up there, maybe not as high, but they'll go down as some of these other deals get done. So my top 10, I'll start from 10 going up to 1. You already know 1 though. But at 10 I have Ja'Marr Chase simply because he's a rookie first year. You got to see him produce more. He had a great year. You want to see him produce more before you put him up higher. 9 I have Deebo, something similar. It's his first true year of high quality production. You want to be able to see him replicate that before moving him up either. Keenan Allen at 8 because of the consistency he gives you. Over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. He'll give you – he'll score. He'll give you those big games. He's there for you in big moments. He should be up there. Mike Evans at 7. Once again, consistency, production. Game by game, he might not give you the best each week. I had him in fantasy. I can tell you, always followed him. Had him multiple
games.
One game he'll have 7 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. The next he'll have 2 catches for 14 yards.
Specifically if Marshawn Lattimore is guarding him.
Specifically. That is – you can take him off those two games. 6, I have Diggs because, like you said, he did have a down year last year. But he's also always – since he was in Minnesota, he always had that career arc going up every year. This year he kind of went down just because of how good his 2021 season was.
So yeah.
Went down a bit, but not enough where you can say, like, this guy isn't an impact player. He usually had a safety shading him, too. I mean, it's not like
of course. He got a ton of one-on-one coverage. They took note. They took note of that. They gave him his respect. Now
that's the thing you have to account for, too. Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, the benefit. Yep, our UCF brethren, Gabe Davis, is going to be. Yep, I'm excited for him. I'm excited.
Gabe Davis. Yeah, he had a big game to end the year. Hopefully, he can carry that momentum.
Yep, absolutely. But,
at five, Super Bowl MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Cooper Kupp. The production was high. He's going to face some regression, especially now that Allen Robinson's in town. Although it shouldn't be, it'll be regression.
For sure. Didn't they trade Robert Woods?
Yeah, for a 6th-round pick to the Titans, which is super interesting.
That's a great move for the Titans.
Well, if he can come back healthy.
Yeah, I mean,
Jones essentially for Robert Woods is a good move. It complements AJ Brown a lot more than Julio.
I agree, because AJ Brown and Julio are like, they do like the same things. Like, you kind of want to, I don't know. Obviously, you know, AJ Brown and Julio can do kind of like everything, but like the role that they play is very similar. Yeah, well, I mean, he's also older now, and I feel like Julio's still a good receiver, but he's fragile.
He's not a wide receiver one anymore.
No. I mean, he's like 33. Like, he dominated for 10 years. Like,
he'll find himself in a similar situation that AJ Green was last year with the Cardinals. On a good playoff team as a second or third wide receiver. You get put in your games. When the guy in front of you is hurt, you come in, have a big game. Just kind of fall in line like that. And then at 4, Jay Jetta, Justin Jefferson, he's got to be up there. Mm-hmm. He's
special.
If he has a good year next year, if he continues to go up in that path he's been in, which he should continue to get more and more targets, added more and more attention, but he could make an argument for the best receiver in the league.
I mean, if he had, Justin Herbert as his quarterback, Joe Burrow as his quarterback instead of good old Captain Kirk. Cousins.
Most money made by a quarterback.
All pro at the bank. At the bank. That's crazy. I mean, I feel like for a receiver, like part of the reason why the best receivers are, you know, they get so much production is they have a great quarterback. Like, you know, Adams had Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Tyreek Hill has Mahomes. Even you know Cooper Kupp this year got an upgrade in Matthew Stafford, it's a little dependent, but yeah.
Well, then I have Hill at 3, DeAndre Hopkins at 2, Adams at 1, and like you said, I mean top to bottom, these guys are playing with you know Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Every single guy on this list, with the exception of Debo.
Yeah.
Has at least a Pro Bowl quarterback. Unless Jimmy G did make it, which I'm not sure if he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly not deserving
But he took his team to the Super Bowl. 2019, he took him to the Super Bowl, which, you know, some of these quarterbacks on this list, some of these quarterbacks, you know, haven't done that. So he does deserve his props. He's not a bad quarterback.
That's another conversation for a different day. Good old QB wins. But
now let's look at value top 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Standing alone at number one, $28 million per year, Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Two at just over $27 million a year, DeAndre Hopkins. Three, DJ Moore, just over $20,600,000.
Keenan Allen. A side note about DJ Moore, I saw someone list his quarterbacks in college and in the pros, and it is the most hilarious list I have seen. And not to mention that, his first 3 years in the NFL, he had over 1,000 yards with those bottom-tier quarterbacks. So I feel like DJ Moore is like, if they get like a, I don't know, like if they get like a, just even an average quarterback, people might see DJ Moore spike his production a little bit more. And then like, we won't be so like, cause some people may not even know who he is, to be honest. Like
you talked about Cooper Kupp now having Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson now has Matthew Stafford, and he's got in college, Christian Hackenberg.
Yep.
In the pros, Blake Bortles, Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles.
All bad.
Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. They're not bad. They're just not guys who will elevate your play. He's got a guy that will elevate his play.
Yeah. I think specifically in that offense as well. I watched like a video of a breakdown of the Rams offense and like how Odell – like why Odell was balling so well is because they basically doubled Kupp and they would do a lot of, they'd run a lot of flood concepts.
Yeah.
For listeners who may not know what flood concepts are, is like you have a deep route, like a streak, someone just running to the end zone type deal. Someone in the flat who's kind of running horizontally, and then someone who's running like a corner route or like a deep out route. So they run like 10 yards or so up the field, and then they dart towards the sidelines. And then there's a backside route, usually a deep dig, so like a deep like square in route, or like some sort of crosser or slant. And Odell was on that backside dig, slant, whatever you want to call it, in breaking route, and he would cook the one-on-one coverage every time, pretty much, because he's getting one-on-one, and because they got to respect the run threat on the play action, and then they have right into the flood concepts. Allen Robinson can do that. Like, he doesn't have to be the, if he's not the guy and he's, you know, on the field with a good quarterback in a good system, I think he can really produce. So
he was getting 1,000 yard seasons, what felt like every year before this past year when he was a pariah on the Bears.
Mm-hmm. Is he on the top 10 money earners?
No.
I didn't think so.
He had to get. I think he could have gotten a bigger deal, but he chose winning over money, and he still did get paid. But number four, Keenan Allen, just over $20 million, $25,000, in a three-way tie for number five. You have Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, and Mike Williams. Of the three, all three making the same amount of money, I'd put Chris Godwin in his own tier above both of those guys. Not to say they've had bad years or bad careers. Chris Godwin's just...
I would say Cooper's in the same ballpark as Godwin. I would prefer Godwin. It's kind of crazy as you name off the top 10 guys, it's like these are not the top 10 guys
We're not done. You're gonna like this very soon. Number eight, Michael Thomas, just over $19 million. in a sure. three-way tie for number 9, mm-hmm. you have new Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk, Kansas City Chiefs superstar Tyreek Hill,
mm-hmm.
and Kenny Galladay.
I mean, Tyreek Hill definitely needs to get paid more, one. Christian Kirk, that deal is just hilarious. Galladay, he just can't stay healthy. Like, he's got to be. He's really good. He just can't stay healthy, so he can't really prove it. Like, he's one of those guys who can be like that Mike Evans type when he's healthy, and he kind of was when he was on the Lions when he was healthy. Like I said, but
I mean, he just needs to be on the field. A poor man's Mike Evans.
I mean, what it was his year? Let me look. I didn't really follow him as much on the Kenny Galladay stats. Let us look.
See, like, when you're talking Mike Evans, you're talking consistency year in, year out. He's not missing too many games, if any at all. So,
yeah.
I mean, Kenny Galladay is good. I've watched him play, but if you're putting him with
Mike, I mean,
I know what you're going for skill set wise, but
yeah,
it's not at
also
that
like
level.
looking at the like, so what was it? It was 2018, 2019. He had an average of like 68 receptions, about 1,100 yards, and like 8 touchdowns. And Mike Evans, obviously, he's more consistent. He's on the field more. He had around
how much of that
70.
Was in garbage time? That's
I
the
mean,
question.
I don't know.
but that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's like that becomes the question. How much of it was in garbage time, considering he played for a not great Detroit Lions team?
I mean, you can say that. I don't really know how much was garbage time for Mike Evans for playing for a good team the past 2 years, and they're already beating the shit out of them. Like, I don't know. Like, that's, we can dig more into that, but I don't know. It seems to me like if Galladay had a competent quarterback and was healthy, then he would be putting up, like, he did put up similar numbers to a Mike Evans. It looks like Mike Evans, I mean, especially recently, he's been scoring more touchdowns because, you know, Brady. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I was happy the Giants signed Galladay because we needed a number one, someone capable of being a number one receiver, but we still need him to actually show it as well as throw him the ball deep, because that's literally what we brought him there for. And, you know, Jason Garrett wanted to run stick and curls every fucking play. But that's another story for another day.
So we'll take it in this direction. We talked to Amari Cooper. We know he now has a new quarterback in Deshaun mm-hmm. Watson. Massive deal.
Yep, all don't guaranteed.
I don't want to talk about the situation.
Neither
it's
do I.
An interesting situation, but it's not the only big
They'll
quarterback.
They'll figure it
move.
Out.
No, it's already been figured out. He's got 230 yeah. million guaranteed. It's over. Like, there's nothing else to worry
yeah.
about. He's not going to court. He's not going
Basically.
To jail. Mm-hmm. We saw another big quarterback deal right before the official league season started. Obviously, Russell Wilson, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, traded to the Broncos. Massive deal.
Yep.
So we'll wrap it up with this. This will be the last topic. Which wide receiver group, Broncos or Browns, who's still kind of trying to figure out, reports had said that they want to bring back Jarvis Landry. Which mm-hmm. group, saying that the Browns do bring back Landry or bring in another receiver, who
yeah.
is set for the bigger jump between the two groups?
I think it's easily the Broncos. I think the Jerry Jeudy stocks are going to go all the way up. Cortland Sutton is a really good receiver as well. People don't really know a lot about him unless you watch the Broncos every game but I'm not gonna pretend like I'm that person. But he is very good. I hear the name Tim Patrick a
I'm
lot.
not that guy.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. So I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the Tim Patrick, but I know Jerry Jeudy very well. He's in that same mold as like a CeeDee Lamb. If he's healthy and he has a good quarterback, he will be dominating.
No. CeeDee Lamb's a more physical receiver. Jerry Jeudy's more of that possession guy. Two different games right there.
I mean, I don't know. They both get open. They both get open. They both can catch the ball. I feel like we've seen Jerry Jeudy with Drew Lock and Teddy B or Hurt. So I feel like we don't have a lot to judge off of him. Like Lamb last year obviously played with Dak and he got to show more what he could do. But I do think the Broncos are I think Jeudy's very capable of being a number one receiver. I think Courtland Sutton is already basically one. And for the Browns, yeah, I think Cooper's the number one receiver. I just don't know who the rest of everybody is. If it's Jarvis Landry, that's a good slot guy. Like he can help some.
You're
I
putting a
don't
lot on
know.
Donovan Peoples-Jones too, Anthony Schwartz,
Yeah,
David Njoku's now the number one tight end there too.
I think it's gonna take them. Did they give up their second rounder this year? I don't know.
I
I
don't
think they
think
still have it.
so.
I would still, and this is just kind of like my philosophy as like team building is if I'm a team and I don't have like three like above average receivers, including one of those guys being like a top tier guy, I'm always gonna draft a receiver in like the first or the second round. 'Cause like you can't not have those guys. And the Browns still need him. I mean, going into
They
the
do have
season.
they do have their second round pick, number
Yeah.
44. So they could
And
hypothetically,
they could get a Mechie, like someone
yeah, they
like that.
could.
Like, and that's the thing is, I mean, a lot of the mocks that I've seen, because the Broncos were picking, not the Broncos, the Browns are picking at like 13 or something. They were like, oh yeah, they could get Garrett Wilson or Drake London or whatever. I'm like, yeah, they do need that. Even with them trading for Cooper, I was like, yeah, they still should probably do that. Now they
It'll
don't have
be
that pick.
interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the return is on Baker Mayfield. I think you can maybe get a
A
third off of
second,
him.
a third.
It depends how the bidding war goes. I think the Matt Ryan situation at Atlanta isn't solid right now. They're
Yeah.
apparently giving him time to like figure out what he wants to do. If he becomes available, I think Indianapolis is going to jump on that. If they can't get him, I think it'll come down to Jimmy G or Baker. And
Yeah.
Baker not
What?
only would be cheaper, but his price tag will probably be lower. But it depends if they think Baker can win
What the
over
hell did
Jimmy G.
Carson Wentz get traded for? A second? Like
Well, which deal?
this one. This.
I think it was 2/3.
And I'm like, listen, man,
What I think it was, it was a 2022 third. And a
yeah.
2023 third that could become a
The
second.
second, yeah. I have a hard time believing that Carson Wentz is that much better than Baker Mayfield, if better at all. I don't think Carson Wentz is very good. I really don't. And maybe this is just me, like, because I like Baker and had liked him going into the draft, that like I still see some of the good in him. I do not see much good in Carson Wentz other than being able to underthrow streaks and get defensive pass interference consistently. That is his best trait, in my opinion.
Hey,
Being throwing.
good thing he has Terry McLaurin now, who leads the league
Yeah.
in contested catches since
That's
he's been
another
drafted.
guy. That's another guy that could be at the bottom end of a top 10 or like in the approaching that list. I think Scary Terry's really good, but I don't know.
F1.
Yeah, he's great, but
F1. He's very good.
I don't know, man. I think it's gonna be a very interesting year. A lot of movement, a lot of specifically with the receivers. There's so much talent. It's more talented than the league has ever been. From, I feel like the best athletes are playing receiver now. Like, that's just where they're going because they see they're making the bread, they're getting all the, it's a passing league.
Hey, you have
So,
Darius Slay on Twitter making all
yeah.
those comments. Even he even added Davante Adams and said, "Teach me how to release."
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. So, you know, it's the most talented the league's ever been in terms of pass catchers. So I think we're just going to keep seeing these great classes. It'll be cool to see who, I guess if you could give me one or two guys that you're looking that could possibly break out next year, who would you have those be guys be?
First one's gonna be bias. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I'm a big
Vegas.
Dolphins fan. I'm taking
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, and I think
Yeah,
I
I
would
get
put
it.
Jalen Waddle right now as a top 25 receiver. I think he could be. We can make the argument for him in the top 10 by the end of next year in that Mike McDaniels offense.
Yeah, oh, I forgot McDaniel's there. Multiracial Mike, as the streets call
I forgot. That's I
him.
had not heard that before.
Nah, that's Twitter
I
for
had
you.
not heard that
But
before. Sheesh.
I mean, I can see it. I liked Waddle. I thought Waddle was amazing at Alabama. I was like, whoever picks him, he's gonna do really well. So I can I get that. I mean, that's a I understand the homer pick.
The homer pick.
I want to see my boy Kadarius Toney, the Joker, be healthy and
Hey, you'd be
actually
happy if he
throwing the
did half
ball.
of what Waddle did.
Yeah, I would. I would. I mean, if he got at least 50 catches, I'm like, ah, oh, it's progress. But I still think, like, what I saw him do versus the Cowboys, I was like, huh, you can actually be like a star if everything aligns right. And now, like, if everything aligns, and that's what we're talking about, is like these best case scenarios, like whether, you know, the percentage of them happening compared to others, you know, we can go back and forth about that. But from what I saw from him, like, I'm like, oh yeah, you can just make stuff happen out of absolutely nothing. And I think those, like, that's what separates a lot of these receivers is their run after the catch ability. That's why, like, you know, Lamb coming into the draft, like, he was incredible at that. So I, you know, he had his breakout this year because he's a bad boy. But I hope my boy Kadarius Toney makes some noise because that means that we're the Giants are actually not a complete and utter dumpster fire if we actually can score some points. But yeah, I just guys who can get open and then make things happen after the catch. Like,
Exactly.
and also Tony can be if it maybe just maybe if we can look. I think a lot of teams are gonna start doing this. Is they're gonna look at what the Niners did with Debo, what the Falcons have done with Cordarrelle Patterson, and like it seems like there's something there. Like there are those types of players in the league. And I would characterize Tony as someone that can do that because he did it a little bit in college. And it's you have to have that skill set, of course, but like there seems to be
You
a
also
lot of
gotta take
value.
into account you gotta take into account the injury history, the longevity. I mean, Cordarrelle
Yeah.
Patterson was moving around almost
Yep.
every other year, it felt like. But to wrap up your question, the other guy, I brought him up before, and I think one of Donovan Peoples-Jones or Anthony Schwartz is gonna break out with Watson there now.
Which
And
one of
if
them
I
is a deep threat?
Schwartz, they
Schwartz?
both are. They both
Okay.
are. But Schwartz is more of the burner. And that's why I
Yeah.
kind of think, I think that there's a chance they bring back Jarvis. There's a small chance that Will Fuller comes into
Yeah.
the picture because of
Yeah,
the
I mean
relationship with Watson. But if.
when Watson was on the Texans, Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, specifically Will Fuller, whatever Will Fuller played, like they just
Gave it to him.
it seemed like every other game this man had like 150 yards and a touchdown.
And then
Like
the
he
next game, he'd break something.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I mean that makes sense, like with Watson moving to the Browns, one of their deep threat guys breaking out. I definitely feel that. Who else could break out? I mean, it might have to be like a guy like a Tim Patrick on the Broncos just because of Wilson. Like when you have an upgraded quarterback, You know, the receivers are probably going to start showing out. Or I guess one I'll say is our brethren Gabe Davis from UCF now on the Bills. What he showed versus the Chiefs was pretty dominant. And
Sensational.
if he can do even like part of that throughout the season, like if he can have like half of that game 3 or 4 times, like have a touchdown and 100 yards like 3 or 4 times, and then just be like 60, 70 yards playing off of Diggs consistently, like you're looking at a great receiver. So every year we're gonna have dudes that break out, but you know, that's what I'm looking on for homerish reasons, of course. But
I'll wrap it
yeah.
up with this. Closing thoughts. If Christian Kirk doesn't break out, Trent Baalke's gonna be right back on those streets. That's
The Jags are never gonna be. They're never gonna be good. Their organization is so terrible. They can't get out of their own way. And you know, as I say that, they might break out and they might be amazing next year. And then just say like the NFL is funny like that. You can
NFL.
just va sometimes variance will just take over. But yeah, no, Christian Kirk. He thinks Christian Kirk is Devontae Adams. Apparently, I don't know how, but he does. So. They'll have to see some return on their investment, or Trent Baalke is going to be gone.
This is my one message to Trent Baalke. You can't if you can't read it, we aren't doing video for this. Free J Rob. James Robinson.
Your boy. Your
Hey,
boy.
hey, sh sad with the Achilles injury. Hope he comes back strong, but
Yeah.
a man
I
is
don't know
just
what
for everything he's done.
the fact that they drafted Travis Etienne after getting the literal dream of a free agent, an undrafted free agent wide running back producing like a first rounder. Like that's the literal dream. All you do after that is draft like someone in the fourth round or the sixth round just for some depth. You don't go. You have so many holes on the team, and you go running back. Awful, awful. Urban Meyer, glad that man's gone. Wanting to sabotage Trevor Lawrence's career, but hopefully
You
they turn it
got, you
around.
got, you got, and you know, Jaguars, after
Yeah.
they made that AFC Championship appearance, downhill ever since.
What a
They can't hire
collapse.
the right people. They can't put the right personnel around their quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is gonna go from being once in a lifetime prospect, sensational player, to falling into nothingness. And I think that's what we're gonna see here. And it's a shame. It's bad. It sucks. But if you want to be selfish and hire people that you think would be good for you because they had some success in other places when the success wasn't on them, then yeah. And I like the Doug Peterson hiring. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think he's good.
Trent Baalke's
Hopefully.
gotta pack his bags, never be allowed back in Jacksonville, never be allowed back in the NFL again.
He's so terrible.
He's awful.
But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. That was episode one of Don't Drop the Ball. I am Steven Jabrowski or Stevie J.
And I'm Pablo Rosero. Thanks for tuning in. You can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, really. We'll be back next week. New topic. Hopefully we don't trash the Jaguars again. But who knows?
They might deserve
They might
it.
deserve it. Thanks for tuning in.